Welcome to the debug log number 12.
Choo choo! All aboard the hype train 2015 Boston Unite. I said that in a weird order. That's fine. Sorry, guys. As you listen to this, we are headed to Boston to Unite Conference, the annual Unity Conference, the big event of the year. We are super excited. We talked previously about how Unite 2014 in Seattle actually inspired this entire, you know, thing, this entire shindig, this entire podcast. So this year, we're excited to go to Boston and actually spread the message of the show, build the community, do all that stuff. Anyway, we thought we'd take this time before the show to preview some of the talks we're excited about. You know, there's a lot of things. It's 3 days. They have, I think it's like 3 or 4 different tracks. So it's a lot of dense information. We're going to go and spread out and experience much as we can and share it with you guys. We're going to Periscope. We're going to do some videos. We're going to do some all sorts of posts. It's going to be great. So check that out. But in the meantime, we do that. At the end of the episode, we also talk about some general conference best practices. This is stuff we learned not just from Unite, but other conferences over the years. So it helps you when you go to it, whether it's Unite this year or whether it's GDC, you know, PAX, any of those things. It helps you maximize your effort, efficiency of those things, and network and talk to people and make actual meaningful connections and not just sales calls. So without further ado, I give you the debug log, episode 12.
All right, you better do it.
Yeah, you know how, why we have so many things to do? Too much smite.
Oh, please.
Yes. This is the married man who gets yelled at and told to stop podcasting.
Who's that guy? I don't know.
Got it. And you moved on Saturday and you couldn't do your tips and scripts. Come on, Eduardo. You can't blame us.
That's different.
You're listening to the Debug Log, a podcast about Unity game development. My name's Andrew Curry.
I'm Obino Parra.
I'm Zach Schneider.
I'm Ryan Kilgore.
And I'm Eduardo Castillo Fernandez.
And welcome. This is the podcast on the eve of, we're recording this about 2 weeks from it, but this is coming out on the eve of Unite 2015, which we're all excited for, except for Ryan.
No. Yeah, because he's not going to be there.
No, I spent all my time off at Dragon Con, which you guys didn't even visit me while I was in Atlanta. Well, sorry, Obina did.
Because I'm a great friend.
He is a good friend.
I had obligations.
The rest of you. Obligations in Canton, Georgia? Come on. Blah. Anyway.
Well, we hope you had fun.
I feel like it's been a while since we had the whole crew together on our podcast.
I think it was the last podcast we had the whole crew
together. Yeah. Foot and mouth.
That's how good a friend he is.
I just don't count Zach ever. Maybe that's why. I just have to troll him to get out of that one.
Sad. Single tear.
Under the bus. There you go, Zach.
Well, before we get into it, this episode is going to be basically about, you know, what we're looking forward to going into Unite 2015 and some basic. I mean, we went last year, and again, we told the story a billion times. Cry a single tear about how we got inspired to do the show from going there last year, but we learned some tips. You know, I've learned some tips from other conferences I've been to, but we also learned some specific tips for Unite that might help you out and might help you have some fun and relax and stuff. Before we get into that, like I said, this is 2 weeks before Unite, and we're just after the release of Unity 5.2. And I know, Eduardo, you've had a chance to download and play with it a little bit, haven't you?
Oh, yes. I just downloaded and updated my Hangman game. And the first thing that people have to know, if you have Unity Ads integrated in your project already, you will have problems. Because the new editor has all the Unity services integrated by default, the Unity Ads, Analytics, Cloud Build, and Multiplayer. And they do what you had to do for the Unity Ads integration. They do it now behind scenes, so you don't have to worry about that. Actually, if you create a new project and you activate the advertisings by clicking the cloud button that they have, now they have 4 buttons on the right top corner, layout, layers, account, and one that has the icon of a cloud, that will display the services. And it's pretty easy. Before, you have to open their website and log in and everything. Now you just have all the services here. You log in into your account and you will always have it there. You can activate them, deactivate them.
So from what I've heard is, if you already have the ads incorporated, you're going to have some issues. But if you don't, it's a lot easier to do it now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So is that what, just as an aside, Christian Strang on the Debug Lounge was posting about some problems with the Unity ads. I wonder if that's what he was experiencing, because he said he started a new project and was fine, but he was, you know, actually having some look like iOS linking errors for that before. But anyway, Christian, that may be what's doing it to you. I don't know.
Yeah. Alan Davis, another of our coworkers, also mentioned this. And the problem is that since they have it integrated already, when you have your ads in a script, you have to say ads.show. Well, now with Unity 5.2, they will say you have that code like initialized twice, something like that. I don't remember, but yeah, it's a similar error.
So it's like duplicate references and stuff to that.
Yeah, exactly.
SDK.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Did you debug it yourself for your? I know you were making that Hangman game. Did you debug it? Because I know you had ads. Did you have ads in there as well? So
yes.
Did you run into that problem? How did you fix that, or have you?
I haven't fixed it.
Oh, okay, tackled that yet.
What?
Yeah.
exactly.
But as soon as you upgrade the project, that's the first error that you will get.
Gotcha.
But in addition to that, I like what they have. They also added a drop down to the new UI elements.
So that's like a drop down selector.
Yes, and it's pretty easy to modify it. It also has the options. You can add sprites to each one of the options.
Man, oh, cool. That would have made my job so much easier.
Those things are those are the little things, and this is my UI talk, Obina. Okay.
No, go ahead.
Those are the little
it's
things
every
you know.
Week.
Oh my gosh!
Don't worry about it. Sure.
Those are the things you never think about. Some people are like, yeah, who cares? Drop down. But if you have to make stuff like that, like you don't understand like how much, you know, make that stuff from scratch, how much calculation and all these different kind of mask and all these weird variables and scroll recs have to go into that. And it's such a pain. So it's so cool when they actually introduce native components like that.
Yeah. I mean, and a drop down is a basic component. It's integrated in Xcode, in Visual Studio. I think the main IDEs have it by default. And now that Unity has it, it's really cool.
Oh yeah, speaking of other IDEs, you know, and you said just Visual Studio, that's another thing they added to this 5.2 release is that they now have out-of-the-box support for Visual Studio tools, which is like the Unity Visual Studio or Unity VS. And I know Ryan used that a lot when we were working
on
our project.
It is wonderful. Yeah. Oh yeah. That is the best, personally, my favorite development environment, and you can clutch it from my cold, dead hands. I'm not going to try to use anything else.
Oh, yes. We need it.
We'll make you use a Mac.
Yeah, I'm in Sublime camp, so anyway.
Yeah, well, you'll catch up.
Yeah. Catch up. Whatever. Yeah, so outside of that, there's like a whole bunch of other features they added to this 5.2, like 2D features, a lot of multiplayer, or the new networking additions, audio mixer adds, graphics, you know, IL2, CPP improvements, Mechanim stuff. So there's just a lot, and you can always see that. We'll put this in the show notes as far as what, you know, their release notes for 5.2.
Yeah, across the board, it's pretty big. Like, not even just features, just a lot of fixes. I mean,
exactly.
It'll take us a while to dig into all of these, and actually.
Yeah.
So.
We'll let you know if we find another cool feature in future episodes.
What was that, Ryan?
I was just going to say, like, you know, we mentioned IL2 CPP, and just very, very quick, that is intermediate language, I believe, to C++, where they're actually converting the scripting into native C++ and compiling it, as far as I understand.
Yes.
So, yeah.
We saw talk about that last year at Unite.
Yeah, that's like their...
Yeah.
They have another one this year.
Ooh, good segue, Zach.
Look at me coming out of left field.
Is that something you're excited to see, Zach?
So that's Unity 5.2, and we'll get into that, and we'll keep updating you as we kind of find other stuff, I'm sure. On the Facebook group too. So Unite 2015, you guys pumped? You guys excited? If you're listening to this and like and this comes out, you might be on our way there.
I want to be on my way there.
Shut up, Ryan.
Go to your corner, Ryan.
No.
Go to your corner of the country. Stay there. So Unite 2015, the schedule just came out about a week ago in our time, and we've dug into it and we've kind of gotten excited. We've been looking at Google Maps today at our hotel and all that stuff. But so what are some of the talks you guys are excited about? That's a good way to start talking about it, maybe.
Well, honestly, the keynote is one of my favorite talks, or at least was my favorite last year. Just like 2 hours.
He went for the easy one.
That's just one. I mean, I have plenty that I've written down that I'm eager to see, but the keynote was amazing to see. But I guess I feel like all my talks kind of center around this, you know, project structure and development pipeline kind of thing. So one of my favorite ones was this process pipeline performance, a super blunt tech arc direction crash course for indies. And that's happening on the day after the training day, which is the September 21st. And, you know, in that one, they're going to be talking about, you know, like setting up your build pipeline, setting up your project pipeline. Performance, you know, just processes for indie developers. So I think that's going to be really cool to see, and I guess just get an ear to what other developers are doing and how they got their process down, because it's going to come into handy not only where I'm working right now, but also for this, you know, the MMO game that I'm working on.
TBD.
So yeah, let's go ahead. Yeah, TBA.
To be announced.
Yeah.
One of the ones
not to be determined. You know what it is. It's not.
Yeah. We don't know what we're making.
One of the ones I'm looking forward to is this talk on it's the 22nd.
You said lunch earlier.
So lunch. Really, that's the one I'm looking forward to.
You did say that before the show that you're looking forward to lunch.
And all of these ones that say break, those look good too. How to make money with Unity ads without pissing off your players. The name of it is how to make money with Unity ads without pissing off your players. And as somebody who I haven't put too many ads in any of my games, so I feel like that would be a good place to start for me.
Yeah, Unity ads, I mean, now that they're making it such an easy process,
right?
And I think Crossy Road was that example, because they came out the door with the game that's the poster child for it, and they did it in such a great way. You know, that was a former game of the week for us.
See so many games that do ads wrong, and it just drives me nuts. And maybe this will help me, you know, do it right.
That could help, maybe.
Yes, I know.
Maybe, probably not.
Yeah, one of the ones that I would love to see is using Unity Analytics a day in the life of a developer. I haven't looked into Unity Analytics, so this one might be a good starting point. I heard that one of the games that was nominated for the Unity Awards uses Unity Analytics to improve it, because it was failing at the beginning, and after using Unity Analytics, it was even featured in the App Store.
Yeah, because I think I read that article too, where they like modified. They realized people were getting stuck at this level, and they're like, "Wait a second, let's modify that." And then because that's so weird how those little behavioral changes in a game can change it completely and open it up to people. And that's what's cool about going there too. Seeing my preference into that is some of the behind the scenes type talks. Like the keynote and those other things where the Unity guys give it, they do great examples, and you're just like, ooh, especially last year because 5 just came out, and we're like, ooh. I don't even think it was out yet, right? It was just like it wasn't out yet.
Oh, so that's true. That's true.
It still took another like 2 months.
I think the only thing that was out was that the UI preview or whatever.
So they had 4.6. A lot of good shit to show, because you're like, ooh, that looks pretty sweet. Like the global illumination, all that stuff. You're like, nice. But just in general, the stuff that I usually like at game conferences are the talk that are like the postmortems by game developers, like that, like the analytics thing, or just in that. And this one of the ones I'm looking forward to is by the Unity guys, but it's like a behind the scenes thing. It's called How We Make Unity. It's a look into how development in Unity's R&D organization works. Mm-hmm. I was like, that actually might be pretty fascinating just to see. What goes into, like, do they just go on a whim, like, just develop stuff they like, you know, like the director thing? How did those kind of crazy projects, how do they kind of bubble up from the woodwork and go, hey, this is neat that we should work on this, or get maybe, you know, they use tactics like showing it to people at conferences and get standing ovations, and they go, hey, we want to play that. So that's a, that's like the first day in the ballroom, the big ballroom. So I think that one might be pretty cool, because I don't think we've really seen, they're always about transparency, but we haven't seen a look behind the curtain, you know.
Yeah.
How right. they make it.
Actually, exactly.
I just true. Found one that I am definitely going to see. It's called Unity Test Tools, my favorite plugin. Test automation in Unity now and in the future. Oh man, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, you'll like that one. I think Ben and I went to a test tools one last
year. Yeah, and then we also
super technical. It was like just really in depth.
That's true. And the good thing about Unite is that they have that little testing booth or that was it like ask questions or booth that they have. They set up
right.
a lot of the Unity
like
guys.
Little area where they have the people from each department, like two
exactly.
or three people
you
from
can just
each
go back
Unity,
there and it's like, okay, tell me about the testing tools, or tell me about, you know, global illumination in Unity, and they would just be there to help you out, or
Zach,
just help you out
some
with the
networking
project.
Questions for them.
Yeah, yeah, Zach exactly. asked them some nav mesh questions last year, didn't you?
Yeah. They were trying to make it so that you could have two different nav meshes baked into the scene, and there was a big problem having the two, like they couldn't find the up vector for each of the nav meshes, so it was really confusing, and I was trying to figure out how we would integrate that into a game, and they actually did help out a lot. So
guys, have you noticed that most of the conferences are going to be about VR?
Yes, VR and AR.
Yeah,
there's a lot of
that. This is definitely the year of VR. So
seriously.
I guess they are going to push that a lot.
Well, if you think about it, all those devices are coming. I mean, it's like, I think Oculus is like Q1. It's like February or something, right?
Yeah.
February to
yeah.
April of
yeah.
next year. So, I mean, it's like, yep. I guess this is the perfect time, you know.
Exactly.
If you're
a lot of the talks
something.
Focus around like best practices, what to do, you know, preparing for the future, or getting your team ready for VR. That's a lot. Like a lot of the talks are focusing around,
mm-hmm.
which is really interesting.
I'd say the one of the ones I'm really interested in looking at is like, I think it's one of the last ones at the conference is on the 23rd at like 4 o'clock or 3:30, mm-hmm. and it's physics and features in 2D and 3D. And with all those games that have been coming out, like Kerbal Space Program,
it's actually up for a reward.
Don't spoil it, guys. Right. We'll talk about that later.
And also Besieged, and this goes over a lot of the 2D physics features and 3D physics features that are coming to us, and some of the problem areas like the joints and the wheel colliders and things like that. I feel like that would be really interesting.
Yeah, it's weird going to the conference, like I said, because I like to see some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, but mm-hmm. I think early on, I really like a lot of, like, I want to see some real technical talks, so you'll go to that, and then after a while, I was like, okay, I'm tired of that, I have too much of that in my head right now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm going to forget everything, because I saw a really cool editor scripting one last year, another one, so I can't, and then I went to see, and they have it this year, too, I think they have it every year, And I think last year we saw like some VR demo. Remember when we ate lunch and we walked down and I walked back to the place?
Yeah, they had the Oculus one out, yeah.
But they had one called Unity in the Wild. And it was pretty crazy because it was just a bunch of like examples of Unity used for other things, like for art installations or for like museum pieces
stuff. Yeah.
And it was just fascinating because it was kind of a postmortem thing. They say, okay, we use these kind of cameras. We did this augmented reality with this thing and we get used to Unity. So there's a lot. There's different types of talks or whatever your tastes are depending on the day or how tired you are.
And the good thing about these talks is just like you're saying, like as you're looking through, it's like, oh, maybe I'm too tired to go through it, but it's just good to like see what's going on in Unity and what the different talks are about, because it really just wet the palps, and you like are just interested to, you know, learning more about certain thing. Maybe you could look into it later, because like, when we went to see that editor scripting one, you know, I don't think I was that paying that much attention because I didn't understand it really well at the point at that time. But, you know, a couple months later, I really dived into it because I went to that talk. It's like, oh, this is really interesting. I can see what it can do. So let me try it out later.
Well, because you're not going there to like, I mean, they're going to post these videos later. They're
exactly.
not, you don't need, I mean, people took notes and stuff like why? Just all I go there for is just to get like you're kind of seeing them. Other people's process, and you're seeing what's possible. You're like, oh, that's cool. I didn't know you could do stuff that way. That's really what you're trying to expand your mind.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, that reminds me of actually another talk that I really want to see. This actually coupled. There's like two of them. There's one that's called Writing Shaders. You Can Do It.
I had that on my list too.
Exactly. So that coupled with one that's like it's just on the first day. It's called PBR Workflows and Guidelines for Unity 5. Exactly. With something, was it Allegromyth or something? Guys that do like Substance Painter and Substance Designer. So, you know, getting those two, you know, really getting into writing shaders. You know, something that I've done, you know, I've done some simple shaders before, but never really got into it. So I feel like, you know, going to those two talks would be,
you know. There's something about being there too, like, because, you can watch that online right now. You probably watch a shader tutorial.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, I don't really feel like it. But being there and you're excited and, like, also you're going to retain that knowledge and really – and you can just get up and ask a question.
That's true.
That's what's so cool about that. You can go, hey, or talk to the people afterwards, which you did a couple, you know.
And then meet a lot of people that are doing the exact same thing or, you know how to do it. And they're just connecting with those people who know how to do networking. You know, PBR workflows or know how to do networking. Yeah, exactly. Or know how to use Unity test tools. Just being able to connect with those people in that kind of environment is just, like I said, it's irreplaceable, Ryan, if only you could experience it.
Yeah, geez,
you sons of bitches.
Well, that's actually a good segue too to go into. So those are some of the talks we're excited for, and of course we're going to do a recap. We might actually, my idea, crazy idea, is to record a bunch while we're there, because of course we're going to try to do some periscoping and all that junk. But
that's crazy.
Yeah. How do you do that? Streaming video from your phone?
No way.
It's attached to Twitter though, Zach, so I don't know if you want to do it.
That's just a fad. Stop it.
Anti-Twitter.
It's owned by Twitter. But of course, we're going to do recaps and all that stuff. But before we get it, like, before we close out tonight, let's talk about some of the just general, for people that are going, or people that are going to other conferences or video game conferences, or any kind of conference, they might just be developer conferences. What are some kind of tips and scripts, tips and lessons that we've learned, you know, from our past experiences? Because I know last year, this is the first video game conference Zach or Bean and I went to. Mm-hmm. And so it's around people that we like and would love to connect with and talk to, but it's weird being there because they encourage you to go network and stuff. And being there, I think if I was there by myself, I wouldn't have done this as much, but I should have. And this is a lesson if anybody's going there alone or with two people. But we went to lunch the first day, and they're like, go talk to people. We finished lunch in like 5 minutes, like, we still got an hour. And Bean and I look at each other, it's like, I guess we should go talk to people. Like, and I think it really helped us just, you know, making each other go do it.
Yeah.
And that's our first lesson, my lesson for this, like, just network. And that's not some cheesy thing, it's just go talk to people.
That's true. And I'm just going to echo that, because that one's the most important. I feel like when you go into these game conferences, and you don't have to like go to someone like you're trying to sell your game or sell your product or anything, like, just go to there and just to meet the person, see what they're doing, you know, get to know them, because, you know, building those connections are going to be invaluable, like I said earlier. And that's like, I mean, that's why, again, we started this podcast, is that building those connections with those people who are doing amazing things with Unity, amazing things in game development, that's going to inspire you to do, you know, a lot more than, you know, what you would regularly do if you didn't meet this person or you didn't have that conversation, you know, without even, you know, trying to sell your product or anything like that. So that should be like the first thing in your mind. I think just meeting that person and networking with other people and other Unity developers and even like people that work at Unity, you know, don't be afraid to just network and talk to them. So anyway, to beat that down.
Well, because you don't know, and it's awkward too, because, I mean, I felt very awkward when we started doing it, the lunches, because that's probably going to be after the keynote. If you're going to this, that'll be your first opportunity during lunch. And it's just awkward at lunch. You know, it's like people are just talking, and we actually got food in your mouth and stuff. We crashed a couple of conferences because people at a table are kind of crunched together. It's not like you just walk up to them. You know, it's a little different. It's a little like, not threatening, but a little more like aggressive just to sit down at somebody's table, like, hey, what you guys doing? You know? Yeah. So it was like, but we made ourselves do it, and it always worked out. And you just start talking to people gradually. And this is the thing I'll say, because it first happened at that lunch. We talked to a guy from, the company's name?
Polaritium? Which one are you talking about?
Sir Richard Garriott, his company.
Oh, Solarium or whatever.
Yeah, where they're making the RPG or whatever now. Yeah. But he was like the lead programmer. And this is one thing I noticed about everybody there, is that the people that were more successful or had really good jobs
were the ones that were talking.
They were the ones. He just came up to us. Yeah, he's like, hey, guys, what are you doing? And, like, you learn, like, oh, he's got a pretty – I mean, he works with Sir Richard Garriott, and he has, like – I know – he's a big deal, and he shouldn't be talking to us just sitting there. But those people, that's like a lesson we learn. It's like,
and like 2 seconds later, a guy that worked for Xbox. Unity or the Xbox, yeah.
Came and sat with us, and we met and talked to him a bunch of other times during that show. So it's it's like that. I noticed that. It's like, if you notice, there's a lot of people here, you know, playing the wall and stuff, and not really wanting to talk and acting cool and just talking about their game and trying to get into it. But the people that were the friendliest were the people that were the most successful. That was the like direct correlation. So that can be a lesson to you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What did you learn last year? Zach? What other things did you learn?
Not to run away.
You guys pretty much beat the networking to death, but but I just remember that
we should tell that story. But
tell the story.
He ran with his team streaming.
Well, we were at this Unity party because the second night they always have a party, and it was like about a mile away from our hotel, or half a mile. And we were talking to people, and Zach was talking to another group of people. At that point, we were talking groups, but then we all spread out, and we were all talking to different people. But you're kind of looking up every second, like, Bina's over there, okay, cool. You don't want to lose everybody. But he always said, hey, Zach, we'll be back at the hotel if we get lost. I'll just see you in the morning. Who cares? You know, we're grown-ups, we're adults. So Bina and I were talking to these people, and we looked up, and we saw Zach, and we looked up about 2 seconds later, and he was gone. And like, we immediately looked upstairs and like, we couldn't find him. It was a big place, but there were only a few places where people were. It was like 2 in the morning, the night we winded down.
We called his phone, we texted him,
for at least 30 minutes. I was looking for you guys.
It was not that long.
You're ruining the punchline. Because what it felt like is that we looked around for like 10 to 15 minutes, and then he texted us, he's like, I'm back at the hotel, guys. I was like, what?
And it was like crybaby
face.
And
it felt like he lost us and just sprinted home, and that was our dude's like, I'm scared, and just ran.
safe zone,
stranger danger.
It was funny at the time. I guess you had to be there.
Yeah, okay. He had to be there.
And had to be drinking a little bit to have fun.
That's true.
But then that's the great thing too, is that they this is the other thing. The lunches are kind of fun, and then in between the talks, it's still kind of awkward. But I think I might go and talk to more people in between talks this year too, because we didn't do a lot of that last year. We didn't do any, because we kind of waited till the second night where they have, like we talked about, they have the party, but before that they have a cocktail party, which we talked to a lot of people at.
Yeah.
And then they have the awards hosted by Mark Schoenegel.
Oh, I have another tip too.
So the cocktail party and the party are really good opportunities. And usually at conferences, just in generalized like advice, conferences usually have some kind of mixers or shindigs or whatever these things are, where it's a lot more casual, especially if you have a drink or something. But not even that, just people being in a more casual environment, because that environment is set up to talk to people, right? Everybody's just looking around the room, so... Definitely don't feel afraid, because especially at a game conference, you just walk up, hey, what do you do, man? What game? Do you have a game? You working on a game? Because you're all there for the same reason. I'm not interrogating. What are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you here?
I want to steal your ideas.
Yeah. Actually, to piggyback off this networking thing, another thing that goes along with networking that I kind of really want to, I guess, emphasize is actually carrying a business card is going to be key too. You know, and handing those out,
business card, right?
Yeah, just keeping a business card with you, so when you're having that conversation and you want to remember someone, or you want them to remember you, just give them that business card. And it's good for, like, you know, also just take a pen with you, so write down information about them. So this is like general networking tips, but they come in handy at Unite and any conference that you go to. So
on that note, usually on your business card, you want to have like one side that's like white
design tips.
I'm just saying, because if somebody's trying to remember who you are, they're going to look at your name and be like, oh, well, I don't really remember who this is. But if it's, you know, a side that's blank, they can write on there, oh, this is the guy I met at lunch the third day. And he was talking about this game or whatever.
Yeah, because I remember when I met some guy who gave me his card, and we had this conversation. Then I remember writing the note. He's like, "Oh, this guy's a millionaire. Make sure I reach out to him."
So it's just you just put a bunch of dollar signs and a smiley face.
Like, you remember this guy?
leads to like one of our last things, and we'll open it to Ryan or Eduardo if they have any tips. But it's also with those business cards, like, run the fine line. You're not trying to give as many business cards out as possible. What you're trying to do is make connections. So don't go, hey, how's you doing? Here's my business card. I make this game. Like, whoa, 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 just chill out. Just or say, hey, I'm trying to find funding, or I'm trying to sell this game, or I have a game in the App Store. Why don't you go check it out and buy it? It's like, no, just talk to the person.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everybody's there just to have fun. We're there to connect and build community. And so just like, yeah, cool. And you start talking, you might talk to them for 20 minutes, and then you have an actual acquaintance and a friend and a connection. And then at the end, you go, hey, oh, by the way, cool, I got to go, but here's my card if you want to get in touch.
Yeah, it's called Unite for a reason. Right. It's not Unity Expo or something.
You're not going after vendors there. So don't lead with your card or lead with whatever you're trying to do. Just say, hey, you know. Just actually try to connect with people on a human level. I know that's hard, but do that on a human level. And then
that's rude.
No, I think that's the best piece of advice we've said so far is try to just talk to them as a person, not as a
customer,
or
consumer.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And then after you leave, he's like, hey, man, well, just check out our site. Here's a card.
Yeah.
Give some feedback. That's what you want, too. You're building a community for your games to get feedback or your plug-in or whatever you're doing. You want to... Whatever you're doing, whether you have a game, you're a publisher, you're always trying to build a community, just like we are with this. So,
yeah.
Do Ryan or Eduardo have any advice from going into these kind of... I know, Eduardo, you do a bunch of meetups and stuff. It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, but, I mean, the advice would be just what you said. It's just to be casual and be yourself. Forget about the business. Go there and meet people. And just try to learn as much as you can, but don't try to sell your game or anything like that to everybody. I mean, maybe there are some people that are interested, then okay, go ahead and explain them, and maybe you can get some customers, but it's not that should not be your first intention.
No, I agree with that. It's like, you know, just go in there. You're all there for the same reason, you know, and don't be afraid to talk to people. There's already a common thread there, a common subject matter. And, you know, like you guys said over and over, just don't be afraid to network and just, you know, talk about what you're interested in. Because when you talk about what you're passionate about, talking's easy and everybody's passionate about the same thing there. So there should be a lot of talking. So, I think that just pretty much nails it.
Yeah, once you share stuff, it becomes much easier. So. Because they'll actually ask you questions, you know. So,
yeah,
that's what. And like Abina said, that's what they're there for. That this whole thing is for that. It's called Unite for a reason, people. Jeez.
Yes.
Why am I like ranting at people?
I know, right? They're like, you might be preaching to the choir.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, it's cool.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, that's cool. So check. You know, again, Unite. We're going to be there. We're going to start. We'll share a bunch of stuff while we're there, and. Get in contact as if you want to meet up at a bar, Eduardo, or somewhere else.
Or a library.
Or a library.
Library.
Eduardo will have tea time in the library.
Give me some tea and crumpets.
I don't even like the tea.
Well, then why'd you set it up?
Exactly. Why did you set it up?
No, I'm going to the bar with Andrew.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. That's the spirit.
No, it's one of those bars. Okay.
Oh, whoa. Okay. So before we go
to...
this
is why it's explicit.
let's end that. Let's just stop that conversation. Right. Before we go tonight, we usually have this awesome time of the night, but this is a very special edition of this, because this is one of the games that's actually nominated for Game of the Year at the Unite Awards. And so our game of the week this week is... drumroll...
Oh, that's awful.
Oh, dear.
Sounds more like a Wookiee.
We definitely
seduce each other.
Kerbal Space Program by Squad. That's our game of the week and maybe of the year. Who knows? I think it might win. I think it has a good chance of winning because it's pretty phenomenal. Why don't you guys explain it? You and Ryan. I played a little bit. I played a few hours of it, but I know Zach has played a bunch of it, too.
It's like a physics-based simulation game where you create a rocket, and you have to you're using all these physics formulas for thrust, for gravity, exiting the atmosphere, all these cool things to shoot your rocket into space and actually visit either moons or even other planets, and it's all done. Sorry.
Oh, it's not moon. It's mun.
Mun, yeah, right. all with your Kerbals, and you get to build the for me the coolest part is to make all these different really cool you know, physics based systems. For instance, you can use a whole bunch of rockets, but you would think, okay, well, I have 30 rockets pointing straight up, but because of all the wind resistance and the weight being off center, you're actually going to flip around and do all these little crazy turns and flips.
And it's really cool because all these components are modularized. Now, you know, like Zach was saying, it's very physics-based, you know, and you've got to kind of plan for certain forces. But, you know, don't think it's a bunch of formulas you got to kind of work through. It's like, you know, say, hey, I've got my fuel tank, my boosters. Okay, now I may have a control module up top that's actually, you know, in charge of sort of guiding things. I may have stabilizers I can put on the side. So it's a very, modular and component system to, say, you know, build these crazy rockets you try to like lift off and get in orbit, or you know, it's basically like, you know, NASA in a can. You can sort of just, you know, have fun with these building blocks and you know, shoot rockets off, you know, off the surface of the earth, or you know, maybe they called it something different. There's also another mode too. I think it's what they're like, jet planes. I forget what they're called, but I found it kind of interesting because you actually had to hook like fuel lines to, you know, intakes and then to like, say, afterburners, or I forget what they called them. But it was basically, you know, horizontal takeoff aircraft instead of vertical takeoff aircraft. So there's a lot of different modes there. You know, and like Zach said, it's just a lot of fun. Messing with all these different systems, and you get to see them explode, and all these little guys are like freaking out in the container because Obina is telling me this is boring, which don't listen to him. He's over on his like little side chat, like, Steph, this games. Is boring. Yeah.
No. I don't like space. Give me fantasy.
That's between my just elves.
He's like, that was a private conversation.
That was a private conversation.
You're gonna do that? I'm dragging you out into the light, buddy.
Anyway.
So whatever. Anyway.
But it's really cool because it's all based on like real physics and stuff, and that's like you have to get good at the game. Like, you're actually looking at, like, you know, like equations and actual, you know, school resources and stuff. You're like, I need to figure out this gravity equation so I can, you know, loop around the, you know, Newtonian physics and all that stuff. So it's kind of an educational game, really, for that stuff. Yeah. The sandbox, just like Outer Wilds we talked about.
And as ago. Ryan says, you don't need to know all these physics equations to do it.
Yeah,
and
they
have a lot of tools to help you.
Oh no, not so. You, Zach. But you know, them start stop saying like you're gonna like resolve gravitational equations. It's like, no, you're not. You're just gonna have fun.
It's implicit.
Right. Or you can just build a rocket and spend an hour trying to fly up to the moon, as you call it, Ryan, okay. Or as they call it, and realize you forgot to put a lander on your vehicle.
See, it's fun stuff like that. Oh yeah.
Oh yes, dear. Now just crashing in the moon.
Yeah, so that's our that's our game of the thing. So maybe the game of the year, we'll see. That's one of those I've really played the most of, so I'm rooting for it. So we'll see if Mark gives it to. I know Mark's his pick was the City Skylines that was his game of the week. So
yeah,
anyway, it's cool.
I think City Skylines might make a run for it though.
Yeah, I think that made the most money too. It made a lot of money this year.
That's
true. Besiege and that, I think, both got posted on Steam as selling over 1 million copies each. So I was like, those are two more games of the week. We know how to pick them, guys. So,
yeah.
Cool.
So anyway, I guess to wrap it up, I just want to let you guys know that, you know, we still got an amazing lounge that we've got going, and the community in there is growing, and everyone's getting excited about, you know, the new features in Unity. You know, we've talked about the Unity 5.0.
It's our Facebook group, yeah.
Our Facebook group, yeah, the Facebook lounge or debug lounge. And again, you know, to join that lounge, just send us or go to our website at thedebuglog.com and sign up for our newsletter, and then we will send you out an invitation to the lounge, or just email us at thedebuglog@gmail.com and we'll send you an invite to the lounge, because the community there, I guess, like I said, is growing, and we're really helping. I like how everyone's helping out each other and with their, you know, helping us debug and stuff like that. So
yeah,
definitely join the lounge.
Yeah, we're starting to get a lot of good interaction there, so it's very, very cool
for sure.
And like you said, like Amina said, the website where you can find all of our other information, our posts, we're starting having more posts and tutorials and tips and scripts, which we have on YouTube, but just go to the debuglog.com and you can find out all that information there. There's too many things to name at the end of the show. We're gonna start trimming
down.
Yeah,
but I think it's good.
Cool.
We're going to do this with Zach here. If you want to reach me in the meantime on Twitter, I'm at Andrew_Curry.
And I'll shout mine out. It's at O'Beans. That's O with a H, Beans with a Z.
Oh, complicated. Mine's at R.E. Kilgore.
Mine is Eduardo CF 1989.
And Zach's
Zach doesn't exist. Zach just sent smoke signals. Maybe Morse code.
We need to go.
Leg to Twitter.
Right. We need to go. We'll see you at Unite, hopefully. We hope you have fun. We hope you see you there. So until next time, my name's Andrew.
I'm Obina.
I'm Ryan Kilgore.
I'm Zach. Uh-huh. You tried it, but you didn't.
He did do it.
He did get it.
I did.
Your Sorry, and just telling Eduardo.
Yeah, I'm Eduardo. I said it.
All right. See you next time.
Bye. See you guys.
He said Ryan E. Kilgore.
Ryan Jebediah Kilgore.
Yeah, I got my last name, and that's how long it was.
On mine, it was like the same exact time, so we'll see.
Sir Ryan Jebediah III.
Ulysses Grant III.
Ulysses Jebediah Esquire.
Yeah. At large. Yeah. A.K.A. the Terminator. A.K.A. the Guzzler. A.K.A.